You turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 1 through verse 4. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. In these verses, Paul makes a transition from the doctrinal and the theological, which he mostly spoke of in chapters 1 and 2, to practical, everyday living issues. So what he says here, he's been leading up to in chapters 1 and 2. And he's now making practical application. And the doctrinal always has practical application. And the doctrinal is the foundation of practical application. Paul is writing, of course, to saved people. Chapter 1 and verse 1, he speaks of his readers as saints. That is, they've been set apart. They've been made holy. He speaks of them as in Christ. Those words occur four times in the book, and five times we read in him. Refers to our standing. Refers to our position. In chapter 1, verse 4, he speaks of their faith in Christ Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 12, he speaks of the fact that they are partakers of the inheritance. Chapter 1, verse 13, he says that they are delivered from the power of darkness and have been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In verse 14, they have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Verse 21, they are reconciled. In verse 22, they are justified. In verse 27, he speaks of them saying, Christ is in you. In chapter 2, in verse 6, he says that they had received Christ and that they were established in the faith and complete in him and buried with him, risen with him, and all of this through the faith of the operation of God. In verse 13, he says that they were made spiritually alive and again forgiven. In verse 20, again, dead with Christ, dead from the rudiments or the principles of the world. And then he comes to chapter 3, and he wraps all of that up in that phrase, risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. The word if there carries the meaning of since. In other words, since ye are risen with Christ. That's not a bad translation, just like in our language, if can mean since. So what he's saying is, if this is you, if this is you, if you are risen in Christ, and then he proceeds to say, live like it. If this is you, this is how you ought to live. That's what he is saying in verses 1 through 4. So, if this be you, if you are risen with Christ, there is a life that corresponds to that. Everything in chapter 3, everything in chapter 3 rests upon this statement, if ye be risen with Christ. If you're not risen with Christ, you can't do any of the things mentioned in chapter 3. So this is the foundational statement. Now notice, in our text in verse 1, we read, if ye be, and in verse 3, It is ye are. If ye be, ye are. So because of this standing, because of what we are, risen with Christ, there is a life that corresponds to that. So what Paul is exhorting them to do is to live who and what they are in Christ. Live it, is what he's saying. We want to speak this morning on the risen heavenly life. But again, before we get there, the foundation of this life is a miracle. It's a miracle that has taken place in your life. This miracle must take place, or you cannot live this life that Paul is describing. Again, Paul begins the text by referring to a miraculous event. And it is a miraculous event in our life. If ye, then be risen with Christ. And he had made reference to this back in chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, ye are risen with him. Ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation or the undertaking of God. You did not raise yourself. We are risen by the undertaking of God, by the operation of God. The faith is the operation of God as well. So this risen with Christ is what took place in our salvation. And again, we did not raise ourselves. This is a miracle. So we need to consider our condition before this miraculous event. We are told in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 that before our salvation experience, that we were dead in the spiritual realm. We were alive physically. We walked around the earth. Verse 3 makes that clear in Ephesians 2. But in the spiritual realm, we were dead. We were spiritually dead. Now, we were born into this world as the fallen children of Adam. Put that simply, it means we were born sinners. We were sinners by birth. We were sinners by nature. And because we were sinners by nature, we quickly ratified that by choice and by practice. Why do people choose to sin? It's their nature. Why does that little child choose to do wrong? It's their nature. They were born that way. So we're born a sinner by nature, but we become a sinner by choice and practice because of our nature. So we were alive in the physical realm, but dead in the spiritual realm. In that condition, dead in the spiritual realm, we were unconscious of God. We were separated, alienated, and estranged from God. We were hopelessly and helplessly trapped under the weight of sin and under the weight of that death. And if you are unsaved right now, this is your condition. If you are here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, you are dead. You are spiritually dead. You are alive physically, you are here, and you are breathing, you are alive physically. No one is debating that, but you, in the spiritual realm, you are dead. You are dead. And being spiritually dead, that puts you under the just condemnation of God. Being spiritually dead means that you are in the bondage of sin. It means that you live your life under the dominion of sin. You live your life under the dominion of Satan. It means that you are without righteousness of your own. That is a righteousness acceptable to God. Because if you tell somebody you're without righteousness, they immediately say, well, I do such and such, that's a good thing, and certainly that's not wrong. You do not have the righteousness required to get to heaven. Because that's God's righteousness. You are guilty before God. You're ungodly, unprofitable, spiritually bankrupt. That is, you have nothing to offer God for your soul. And you're lost. That was our condition. That's still your condition if you're unsaved. We were trapped. We were stuck in sin. Dead in the spiritual realm means that our minds, our wills, our affections, our entire being was entangled in the power of sin. We could not understand. A dead person doesn't understand. We were dead in the spiritual realm. We could not understand our desperate need. There are people here right now, you've heard it all your life, that you're a guilty sinner before God. But it doesn't mean anything to you. Well, how can you say that? Because if it did, you would profess Christ. You don't understand. You don't understand the seriousness of your condition. You don't understand the desperateness of your need. Dead in the spiritual realm means that you cannot please God. It means that you would not come to God, and you could not come to God, not without His intervention. We were so securely held in this condition, we could not escape. And that's you right now if you're unsaved. You cannot escape on your own. But there is an escape. New life. Risen with Christ. So this miraculous event is risen with Christ. We would have remained dead in the spiritual realm, but we read in Ephesians 2 verse 1, after that statement, you're dead in trespasses and sins, He, God, quickened us. We were dead, and He quickened. He made alive us. Ephesians 2 verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, He hath quickened us. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Life. We have been made alive. We that are saved have been made alive in the spiritual realm. We're no longer dead in the spiritual realm. We're alive. We're alive physically, and we are alive spiritually. The Holy Spirit came and imparted spiritual life into our dead souls. That is a miracle. And as a result of that, and this is how we know when it happens. This is how we know when the Holy Spirit comes and imparts life into a dead soul. As a result of God doing that to us, we saw our sin. We saw our sin for what it was. And we understood, I'm a sinner. We understood how sinful we were. We saw that we were rebellious. We saw that we were guilty sinners before God. And we understood this. And we also understood that I'm fully deserving of the wrath of God because of my sin. We saw and we understood Christ to be the remedy of our condition. Aren't you glad that the Spirit of God didn't just come and show us that we're sinners and leave it there? But He also caused us to see and understand that Jesus Christ is the answer to your condition. Which, of course, enabled us to trust Him and to come to Him. Risen with Christ. That's what happened when we were saved. What happened to Christ physically when He was raised from the dead, happened to you and I that are saved spiritually. But not only, you think about the resurrection of Christ, and we need to because we're risen with Christ. Not only made alive, but raised up. Christ wasn't left in the grave. And we haven't been left in the grave either. We've risen with Christ. So when Christ rose from the dead, there were certain things that were no longer true of Him. Wasn't in the grave. That was no longer true. He was not wrapped in the grave clothes. That was no longer true. So when we are risen with Christ, there are certain things that are no longer true of us anymore. There's a change that has taken place. You see, a lot of people want you to believe that they are risen with Christ, but they still live in the grave. Why would you, if the Lord brought you up from that grave, why would you still be there? He didn't leave us in the grave. He didn't leave us there. We're no longer spiritually dead. We're no longer in the realm of spiritual death. We've been raised up. Been raised up from the depths of sin, from the depths of unrighteousness. We're no longer there. We're no longer in the depths of unrighteousness. No longer in the depths of sin. No longer in the depths of guilt and condemnation. No longer in the depths of estrangement from God. We've left there. We've been risen with Christ. No longer are we in the depths of defilement. We've been raised. We don't live there anymore. All because of a miracle. We haven't been left in the depths of enmity and darkness. We're no longer there. We're no longer in the depths of spiritual bankruptcy. We've been risen with Christ. A miracle has taken place in our life. We no longer live in that realm. We've gotten past that. Paul says in Ephesians 2 and verse 6 that He raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places. That is, our domain has changed. Our realm of living has changed. Again, Colossians 1 verse 13, He delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Our realm of living has changed if we're saved. Yet there are people today who would have you to believe that they're saved, but their realm of living has not changed. Their domain has not changed. I am risen with Christ. I'm no longer in the grave. This world is no longer my master. It no longer has dominion over me. I have a different domain. We have gone from the grave to a heavenly realm. And of all the recorded miracles in the Word of God, this, none surpassed this. Risen with Christ. So for you and I that have experienced this spiritual resurrection and transformation, we are no longer in the domain of fallen Adam. We're no longer bound by such. We have been gloriously and miraculously resurrected, and we now belong to a heavenly sphere. Everything is different. Our citizenship is in heaven. We no longer belong to that which is doomed to destruction. The same power that set Jesus on high has given us life above fallen Adam and the world. And now Paul in our text is saying, live like it. If that is you, if you are risen with Christ, if that event has taken place, Paul is saying, here's what you do. Live like it. live like it. And that's the gist of the verses that we've just read. So let's look at this life, just in our text, based upon this spiritual resurrection. Again, we're risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. Stop right there. Just stop right there. That must be a reality. Risen with Christ. That must be a personal reality. Risen with Christ. That is an absolute necessity. Risen with Christ. Everything that follows comes back to that statement. Comes back to that event. Risen with Christ. You can try all of this, everything that follows, risen with Christ, you can try it, you're going to fail. I try, I just can't, I can't. Risen with Christ must be an event in your life. If it's not, you can't live this heavenly life. We would encourage any lost person, live the best life you can live. Live the most righteous life you can live. But you can't live this life without being risen with Christ. So for you and I that are saved, the moment of our salvation, moment of the new birth, we entered a new dimension of living. And now our life is beyond and above the mere biological and the physical. And beyond Adam, beyond the world, we have a new dimension of living life. For us that are saved, risen with Christ, that is a reality. And we are to live in that dimension that God has miraculously brought us into. Now notice here, our position is with Christ. And notice in verse 1, it is with Christ. And it's also where Christ. And in verse 3, it again we see with Christ. And in verse 4, we see when Christ. What's the common denominator in all of those? Christ. That's our life. Christ. Christ is the center. Christ is the emphasis. Christ is the issue. Oh, there's a lot of issues of life, but when it all comes down to it, Christ is the issue. What are you going to do with Christ? And that's really the issue. What are you going to do with this life that you've been called to live? This life, you notice, involves a direction of life and mind. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Seek. That's movement. It's to be drawn towards something. Whatever it is you're seeking, you're drawn toward it. You're focused upon it. There's a single-mindedness. There's an eagerness. There's a passion. There's dedication. It's something to seek. You don't do that by accident. When you seek something, you do it on purpose. And the very word implies that you do it with a purpose. So we are to seek those things which are above. That is, we are to be drawn to things above. We are to be focused on things above. We are to be eager for things above. We are to be dedicated for things above. Why? Where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. We are risen with Christ. Our focus is Christ. And Christ is above. Therefore, we are to seek that which is above. Very simple. The next thing we read is set. Set your affection on things above. Seek, set. Again, set is just like seek, is something you do on purpose. It's something you do with a purpose. And we are to seek that which is above. We are to set our affections on things above. Now, what are affections? Well, it's the things we love. It's what we like. It's what we're most endeared to. I don't believe that a lot of God's people can honestly say, oh, they'll say it, but I mean honestly say, my affections are above. I'm sorry, I don't believe it. Many today, their identity is grandma and grandpa. That's not our identity in life. Our identity in life is we're risen with Christ. That's our identity. I'm not saying being grandma and grandpa isn't important, nor mom and dad. I'm not saying that at all. But that's not what we're to be most endeared to. We're to set our affections on things above. That is, we possess a tenderness for things above, where Christ sitteth, where Christ sitteth. So in these two duties, seek and set, there's a connection. What you have an affection for, you will seek. If you don't care about the object, you won't seek it. But if it's something dear to you, it's something you have to have, you seek it. So seek and set are linked together. And they move in the same direction. In this case, things which are above. Things that are heavenly. Things that are eternal. We are to live above what we have been raised from. We have been raised from fallen Adam. We are to live above fallen Adam. Fallen Adam will always try to drag us down to fallen Adam. We've been raised above it. Just because other people around us act like fallen Adam, don't be dragged into that. You've been raised above it. You've been raised above it. We've been raised above spiritual death. We've been raised above the world. So we're to set our affections, we're to seek those things which are above. He presents it in the negative in verse 2, not on things on the earth. Now, what are the things on the earth? Well, 1 John chapter 2 says that it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We're not to set our affections. We're not to seek those things. We're to seek and set above. So we are risen with Christ, raised above, brought out of, the things of the earth. That is no longer our domain. That is no longer the realm in which we live. We've been brought out of the things of the earth. And now our attention is to be above. Notice that it does, when it says seek and set, it does not say that you and I that are saved are to find a balance between these two, things above and things of the earth. Find a balance. That's not what it says. It says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of the earth. It's not talking about drawing a balance. We're to live above. It's not saying whenever you can, wherever you can, you fit in the things of the earth with the things above. That's not what it says. We're to live above. We've been risen with Christ. We all, of course, fail miserably in this. But people that get this idea, well, you've got to find a balance. And look at their lives. They're anything but balanced. Sinful nature doesn't know a thing about balance. It's all one-sided. And they fit God in wherever they can and wherever it's convenient. That's not balance. Don't even get in that mindset, we've got to balance. No, we're to live above. We're to live above this world that's anti-Christ and against Christ and unlike Christ and thoroughly humanistic. We're to live above that. We're not to get sucked into that vacuum. We're to live above these things. We're to live above today what is called cultural Christianity. Cultural Christianity. It's not Christianity at all. Doesn't even have the... Well, that's another message. But we can't be sucked back into the things of the earth. We must be sure that our lives do not become so intertwined, so weaved to the things of the earth that we cannot be conformed to Christ. And I'm afraid many are there. We must not forget what it's all about. We cannot afford to adopt and incorporate into our thinking the views and the attitudes and the emotions and the pursuits and the lifestyles of this world. We're to live above the world. We cannot lose sight of things that are above. Cannot become so focused on things on the earth that we do not have any vision whatsoever for things above. Many are there. They've been there for a long time. Our life is to be based upon and centered around things above. Why? Why? Christ. Christ is above. That's why. That should be why we do what we do. Christ. Notice verse 1, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. He's the reason. He's the reason we're to seek things above. He's the reason we're to set our affection on things above. No one will ever live a life for Christ if they do not love Christ. And many who say they love Christ don't. It's just like the husband who beats his wife and says, "Oh, I love you so much, honey." Are you foolish enough to believe that? And yet today people say, "I love Christ." And Christ is so far back in their life, I mean, you can't even see Him. We can't live this life if we do not love Him. He's the reason. We don't need any other reason to do anything but Him. Christ. Christ. Another reason to seek those things which are above and to set our affection on things above is our present state due to the miracle of God upon our lives. We are risen with Christ. Because we are risen with Christ, we are to live above. We are to live as if we have been risen with Christ. Another reason is our security is in Christ. He said, your life is hid with God in Christ. That is, that's our security. This world is not our security. Our family is not our security. I'm glad when families provide security, they ought to, but we must not lose sight. Christ is our security. Christ is. Life can change in families that shake security. Nothing changes in Christ. My security remains the same. Another reason is our sufficiency is in Christ. Christ who is our life. Verse 4. He is our life. He is everything we need to live life. And He is above. And therefore we are to seek that which is above and set our affections. Not only that, but our expectation and hope is in Jesus Christ. Notice there in verse 4, he says, when Christ shall appear, ye shall also appear with Him in glory. Christ is our expectation. Christ is our hope. The economy is not our expectation and hope. A job isn't our expectation and hope. An individual isn't our expectation and hope. Jesus Christ is our expectation and our hope. So if you've been risen with Christ, everything in our life ought to be moving toward Him. Now again, I realize we have to live in this world. I realize that. I realize we have earthly responsibilities. I realize all those things. But in all of those things, our life is to be moving above. Our life is to be moving toward Him. He's above. We're to be moving above. Our life is to be moving toward Him. You have to go to work. You have to go to school. All that is true. But your life doesn't have to move in the direction of work, and your life doesn't have to move in the direction of school. Your life moves in the direction of Him. That's what it means to live this heavenly life, focused upon Him. So I got to ask, risen with Christ, is that you today? Is that you today? Can you go back to a time and a place in your life where you knew that you passed from death unto life? When you came out of that realm of spiritual death, do you know that? Do you know that? Has that been real in your life? Because if it isn't, that's really the only issue right now concerning you. That's your only issue in life. There's nothing more important. Whether or not that event has taken place. If it has, praise Him. If it has, worship the Lord for such a miracle in your life. But if it hasn't happened, know this. You are spiritually dead. You are a guilty sinner before a holy God, alienated and estranged from God. That is the domain of your life. Not much good is going to come of that. That is the domain. That is the square that you live. You live in the realm of spiritual death. But the good news is something you need to know. Is there is life-giving, resurrecting power in the Lord. He can raise you up from that. You don't have to live life in the box of the world. You don't have to live life in the realm of the world. The world has gone crazy. The world's always been crazy since the fall, but it's getting crazier by the moment. You don't have to live there. You can live in a different realm. But in order to do so, you have to be raised. And only the Lord can do that. There's no one here that can do that for you. Only the Lord. He comes in His power. In the day of His, Psalm 110, verse 3, in the day of His power, thy people shall be willing. He comes with power and you see yourself as a sinner before God. But again, as we said earlier, He doesn't leave you there. You also see Christ as the only Redeemer, as your only hope. And you trust Him. That's salvation. That's salvation. People say, well, it's so simple. It is. But it takes a miracle. It takes a miracle. It takes a work of God. We don't try to save anybody because we can't. I don't try to convince someone they are saved. You're saved, you'll know it. You'll go back to that day. I realize people have times of doubt, and I realize that. I'm not going to try to convince you you're saved. I will encourage you to go back to that day. If you can't go back, you have reason to be really concerned. Every time I go back there, I have no doubt in my mind. None whatsoever. Oh, that that would happen to you today. The Lord would come right where you are and save your soul. That's your most desperate need. And it is a desperate. It is a desperate need if you're not here, if you're here and not saved. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us verse song.
Two hundred eight.